Great. Well, good morning. It's been great to be with you. You've got a fantastic worship team here, haven't you? Wow. I can't say I feel jealous because that would dishonour our worship team at home, but they're pretty good. We'd like to invite you to come. We feel a great affinity with Walsall Community Church in Derby. We feel like your family, your friends. I was going to say it's because you like wine and women, but that didn't sound very good, really. But we just feel like we're family with you guys. You're part of the same sphere with us, and we feel like in a lot of things we've tracked with you over the years, your love for one another, your compassion for people, and we've really looked up to you guys. So it's a privilege to be here this morning. I live in Derby with Adam, my husband. He's not here this morning. He's speaking over it in Derby. We have three children. They're kind of growing up now, one at university. My other daughter's off in Ethiopia at the moment. And our younger daughter is really enjoying being an only child. I said, "Don't you miss your brother and sister?" She said, "No, it's great just having you to ourselves." So she's enjoying that. She's learning to drive as well, which is a little bit scary at the moment. We've worked with people from different cultures for many years. It was in about the year 2000 that we really thought, "Lord, maybe you're sending us somewhere to reach people who've never had the opportunity to hear about you." And we were praying, and I was really hoping God would send us somewhere really hot and sunny and tropical. And about that time, into Derby, probably like into Walsall and other areas like this, came refugees and asylum seekers arriving from Iraq and Afghanistan and Kurdistan. And we suddenly realized there were all these unreached peoples, and they were arriving on our doorstep. So we made a really big move 3 miles down the road from the edge of Derby into the centre of Derby, into an area a bit like Walsall, where there were people from different nations. And we began to, well, we didn't really have a clue what we were doing, but we began to ask God, would you use us? Would you help us to welcome these strangers to our city? We have no idea what we're doing, but we know that you love them. And really, God was so faithful. We had some amazing sort of just divine encounters with people. I don't know if there's a church in Normanton in Derby, and they have a Bible table, book table out. And we got a phone call from the guy who runs it one day, and he said, I've met a young Kurdish guy, and he's really hungry to know about Jesus, and we thought you might like to meet with him. Well, this young guy came and met with us. He ended up living in our house for a number of years. But I remember, I don't know if any of you pray the 40 days of prayer for the Muslim world through Ramadan, but I remember one morning with our kids, occasionally we'd manage to herd them into a place where we could do some kind of devotional. I won't tell you that we did that every morning. But anyway, we'd got them together to pray, and we were praying for the Badini-speaking people of Kurdistan. And as we did that, we prayed for this unreached people group where it said there were no known believers. And I said, "Do you know where Billy is from? He's from Kurdistan, and he's a Badini-speaking Kurd, and he loves Jesus now, and he's just been baptized." So the world privilege that we get to reach the nations on our doorstep. So that's been a bit of our journey, really, about walking with God and finding out what it means to welcome people from other cultures, to share the good news of Jesus with people from other backgrounds and other faiths, and seeing many come to faith. This has been a sort of a long journey, I suppose, a 17-year journey for us. But every month we're baptizing 3 or 4 people in our church, or 4 or 5, and about 3 of them are usually from a Muslim background. Isn't that amazing? We're seeing more Muslims come to Christ in Derby than we are British Derby people. Isn't that amazing? And that's a kind of a long process they go through in preparation. But some amazing testimonies of God transforming lives, about bringing healing and forgiveness. And the testimonies of people family members have been killed, their homes have been destroyed. They've been full of bitterness. And yet, as they've encountered Jesus, they've been able to forgive and start a new life with him. So that's very exciting for us. It throws up all sorts of challenges as well in the church, but it's wonderful to see what God's doing and just to get in line with that. Currently, in terms of what I do, my job, I suppose, is leading a new charity called Welcome Churches. So we're trying to take what God's taught us over many years and help other churches begin to welcome refugees and to think about what that looks like to help disciple people from the nations, but also how to really make them feel included and part of our churches. And we're still on that journey. That's very exciting. So we were here yesterday for a day with different churches from Warsaw, helping them to think through what does that look like and how can we do a better job. Our vision is that no refugee or asylum seeker would sit alone in their homes with no one welcoming them. But actually, we would go as God's people to their doors and say, welcome. What can we do? How can we help? And welcome them into our community and family. So this morning, I've been asked to talk about the church as a city. And it's a picture that's used a lot of times through the Bible, but it's used in different ways. I don't know if you feel like you live in a town or a city here in Warsaw. Well, I grew up in a village, so moving to Derby was moving to a big city for me. And for 14 years, we lived in the middle of the city. And I love that. I love that I could walk down the road and there'd be a Kurdish friend who would fix my mobile phone for about 25 quid every time. Well, it's usually one of my children smash their screen. I don't know how many screens we've had over the years. But I love being part of a city, of a multicultural city. Maybe you grew up in a village. Maybe you've grown up here in Warsaw. Is this a town? Do you call Warsaw a town? Yeah, a town on the edge of a city. But you know, God loves cities. He loves cities because they're full of people. Today, 54% of the world's population live in urban areas, and that is growing all the time. I think it was in the urban population of the world in 1950 was about 746 million. It's 4 billion now. 4 billion people live in cities. And you know, God's called us to reach cities. But today I want to look at what we can learn about the church as a picture of a city. Now, cities in the Bible were a bit different to cities today. Cities in the Bible probably had about 3,000 people. I don't know how many people live in Warsaw. Is it about 255,000. So this would be a pretty epic city in biblical times. But they had populations of about 300,000. And there were lots of them. Very early, Cain built a city named after his son Enoch. There were cities of the Canaanites. There were 31 royal cities on the west of the Jordan. And there were also cities of refuge. I'll talk a bit about that later, but there were six cities of refuge. So these cities, many of them would have been surrounded by high walls with fortified towers and gates. They were fortified cities. And there's some parallels we can look at in terms of church. Firstly, there's a city. It's a city called Sharaim, and they've kind of dug up the ruins of it there in Israel. It's amazing, as you can see the walls around it. There would have been places to grow things, but a really kind of safe walled community. So if we think of the church as a city, we can see it's a place of safety. There were high walls of defense, there were watchtowers, there were gates. They could be closed if the enemy attacked. And the church should be a safe place for those who come, shouldn't it? A place where we can be ourselves, a place where we can be known and we can be loved, a place where we feel secure, where we can maybe let down some of those guards that we put up or we have to put up as we go into work on a Monday morning. But the church, God wants the church to be a place of safety and security for us and where people, other people can find a safe place. And we read in the Psalms, don't we, lots of things about God being a strong tower. In Psalm 61, it says, you've been a strong tower from the enemy. And the church can be a place that's a strong tower from the enemy, where we can kind of get around one another when we're experiencing attack and pressure or depression or difficulty. And actually, we can find that safe place here in the church. It's also where the vulnerable and hurting can find safety and protection. It's important that our churches are safe places for everyone, both emotionally and physically, where people are cared for and accepted. When we were, when our kids were quite young, we went away on holiday, and we just got to know the neighbours behind us. Actually, we'd got to know them because their dad had suddenly fallen very ill and gone into hospital. But we were away on holiday. Well, while we were on holiday, the alarms went off in our house. And the neighbours had two sons, very big sons, and they heard the alarms, and they jumped over the fence, and they caught a burglar coming out of our house. I don't know what this poor burglar thought would happen, but they pinned him to the floor. And he'd taken some jewellery. You don't think you've got much jewellery, do you, until somebody takes it and you realise you had little bits you were given when you were a baby and things like that. And they caught this guy, and they got an award for bravery. One of the guys, he had learning difficulties, and his mum really despaired of him. And their dad actually passed away quite soon after that, and she really struggled. And he moved out of house in his late 20s. And we used to see him around Derby, and he'd kind of got in with a really difficult crowd. He'd got into alcohol, and he was really being taken advantage of. And we were, Lord, we don't want to, this is our neighbour, what can we do? And actually, it wasn't us, but it was somebody else in the church who kind of, a group got around him, began to love him and care for him, began to invite him to their missional community group. He started to come on a Sunday. And just over the weeks and years and months, we've seen his life totally transformed. He's always there on the car parking in the morning with a big, friendly, one-tooth smile. He's just great. He's got a job now. And it's really because of the love and care of the church. I thought, yes, that was a safe place for him. There's lots of places out there that weren't safe for him because he was vulnerable, but actually the church has become a safe place. So that's what we want it to be, don't we? A safe place. We also want the church to be a place of justice. There's a couple of words up there, but the church should be a place of justice. In Old Testament cities, there were systems of justice. There were elders who sat at the city gates. I've talked about the cities of refuge. This was a place you could go to and flee to if, by accident, you'd killed someone. Now, I don't know if that happens very often now, but apparently in the old days it did happen quite a lot. You'd be wielding an axe, it said in the Bible, and if by mistake you kind of killed your neighbour with your axe, you could run to these cities of refuge and try and get a fair trial. Because back then it was, you know, an eye and eye for a tooth for a tooth, you could be killed. But there were places you could run to in order to get justice. And I think our churches should be places where people can come and find help and find justice. We work with a lot of people who are seeking asylum. And if you've ever worked with people who are seeking asylum, you know that sometimes it's very difficult to get justice. It's very difficult to get a fair hearing. It's very difficult to get the evidence you need to prove why you've had to flee your country. And I think our churches should be places that people come and they can find justice. But also places where we don't discriminate. The New Testament is very clear that we shouldn't show favoritism. It says, my brothers and sisters, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you at the front by Tim, but say to the poor man, you stand there or you sit at the back with Oliver. Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? It's very easy, isn't it, for us to judge people in our own minds. But actually the Bible is clear that the church should be a place where everybody is treated equally, where we don't show favoritism or show privilege to certain people. just recently we've been doing a bit of a review of our church because we have people from lots of different cultures, and we wanted to find out how well we were doing in helping people feel valued and included and integrated. So Abraham, who works with us in Welcome Churches, he talked to our Iranian group and our Afghan group and our Kurdish group. And mostly, encouragingly, they said, we feel really welcomed, we feel really part of the church. But somebody spoke up and said, actually, I feel really discriminated against. And he said, why? You know, why do you feel discriminated? He said, because I'm on the coffee rota. And when I went into the kitchen last week, I was told to wash my hands because people think I'm dirty. I thought, oh, no, that's terrible. Obviously, he wasn't asked to wash his hands. People thought he's dirty because everyone who walks in our church kitchen is told to wash their hands. But it's so easy for people to feel discriminated against or for things to happen that make people feel less valued. And we just need to look out for one another. We need to listen to one another and communicate about those things so that people feel our churches are places where everybody is treated fairly. Finally, in the Old Testament, churches were a place of community. When you've got a city of 3,000 people, it's very difficult not to be known and not to be needed. And I think God wants our churches to be places where we're known and we're needed. Everybody had a function, everybody had a job to do, everybody had a role. And the church is meant to be a community where we're known and we're needed, where each person plays their part in building community. And that's everybody. We can all play our part, can't we? Whether it's serving during the week or welcoming on a Sunday morning. God has something for each of us. And, you know, it's, I think as we sort of mature and as we grow, we begin to learn what some of those gifts are. But at the beginning, we might not know. So we just need to have a go at everything. Just say yes to whatever you're asked to do and have a go. You might find you actually really like joining in and helping with the kids' work. So the church should be a place where we are needed and known, a place of community. All those things are helpful pictures, aren't they, when we think about the church? But I think they're limited in their description of what the church should be. If we want to have places where of safety and places of justice and places where we find community, we could probably join, I don't know, the neighbourhood watch group down the road or something like that. But actually, the Bible points us to a different kind of city. Right back in the beginning of the biblical story, we get Abraham setting out in faith because he was looking for a different kind of city. He sat out in faith for a different kind of city. Let me just read this for you. It should come up on the screen. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What was different about this city that Abraham was looking forward to? What was different about this city that's a picture of the new kingdom and the new Jerusalem? And let's look forward. We're going to go right to the end of the Bible to look at Revelation, because we find a city in Revelation and that gives us a glimpse of actually what we're reaching for in the church. Let me read this in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God's dwelling is amongst his people. If we're not a place where God dwells in the church, then we're just kind of an empty group or an empty club trying our best to be a community together. But actually what makes us distinctive is God's presence dwelling among us. There's been lots of words about that this morning, about God wanting to come and flood us and his presence to come. But actually, if we just carry on the day-to-day without God's presence with us, we're going to miss the city that God has got for us. We're reaching for a different kind of city. It's a place where God is very close. I don't know if you felt God close to you this morning, but God wants to get so close that he can wipe away every tear from our eyes, where he can comfort every sorrow and pain. We talked about that, sang about that this morning, where God comes close, where he can meet with us. And people, that's what he wants to do as we're the church together, especially as we gather together. He wants to come close to us so that he can wipe away the tears, where he can deal with our sickness, where he can set us free from the things that are holding us. This is a kind of city where God dwells. It's not an empty city just with walls and a fortress, but it's a place where God dwells. It's also a place where we don't need a temple or a priest. Let me read on in verse 22. It says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city doesn't need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations walk by its light, and the kings of the earth bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no temple or priest. We don't need mediators between God and men. We can come close to him. And it's a city where everybody has a function and everybody has a place. And God wants us to bring us into a place where each of us is fruitful. Over the last year, I've been through quite a transition in different areas of my life. So for the last 13 years, I've been leading our local refugee charity, and that's been great. And we've had the privilege of welcoming loads of people to Derby, and we're involved in the Syrian resettlement program. But it was just about a year ago, I sensed God was just kind of nudging me that it was time to let go. And that's hard, isn't it? Maybe some of you are in that situation of transition where you know actually God is telling you to let go of one thing, and maybe you're not quite sure what the next thing is. But actually God wants each of us to be functioning in a place of fruitfulness. And there are things that can be fruitful that we're involved in, that we're doing, and that we just keep on doing, and we suddenly realize actually maybe they're not as fruitful as they once were. And actually that might just be a sign that God is moving you on into something new. And God does that, doesn't he? He prunes back things that are fruitful sometimes, and he moves us on. And there's part of what God is doing in each of us that actually he needs to move us into a new season in order that we would grow in him. And that can be uncomfortable and it can be challenging. In the church as well, we're going through a time of transition with new leadership and new roles, and kind of nobody quite knows what they're going to be doing. And for me, it's been a sense of actually it's time to trust in the sovereignty of God. Because actually God is in charge, isn't he? And I think sometimes we try and hold on rather than just letting go and allowing God to lead us. And there's a sense of having to sometimes let go when we don't quite know where we're going. Abraham went and was looking for a city whose maker was God, but he didn't quite know where he was going. And I think there's something in God for you that actually that he's wanting you to actually move on in him. Maybe to not just do the things that you've always done, but to move forward in him. So it's a place where we can each have a function, but it's also a place where the nations can come freely. Did you hear that? The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. You know, God is more glorified when our church is full of people from different nations than when we're a kind of white, sort of monoethnic church, because God is glorified in the nations. And God wants us to be a place of welcome for the nations. God is bringing the nations to us, isn't he? We don't have to go very far, but actually God is bringing people from all over. People have never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And in our experience, actually, in that process of moving and transition, see, people are looking for the living God. People are hungry for the living God. It's a place where the nations come freely, where the nations bring their worship. It's a multi-ethnic city. We're called, aren't we, to offer hospitality. But did you know that that word hospitality, the Greek word is xenophilia? The same kind of root as xenophobia, fear of the stranger. But xenophilia is love for the stranger. Showing hospitality is about loving the stranger in our midst. I wonder if that's something that actually as a church you might be able to do really well, is loving people who are strangers, loving people who arrive alone with no one in Warsaw. And actually you can be a family. You can show hospitality to those people. The gates are never shut in this city. The gates are always open. And it's a place where everyone is made clean. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't. We're all on a level playing field. It's all about whether our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life is by asking Jesus to come and to make us clean. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, actually, he can do that for you. He can come and make you clean. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God can make each of us clean. He says, just come. Come as you are. I've died on the cross for you. I can make you clean. And I can write your name in that book of life. Actually, I have a place for you in that heavenly city. The gates are open for you. They're not closed for you. And you are welcome into my family. So that's a different kind of city, isn't it? It's a different kind of city to one where the gates are up and the walls are there and we kind of batten down the hatches for fear that something might come in to disrupt our comfortable lives. But actually it's a city where the gates are open and where the nations are welcome and where actually God's presence dwells. And I just had a sense as I was preparing for this morning that actually the sense that God wants to come in and break out. Just a sense that of kind of a new anointing. I felt like he said he cherishes you as a church. He sees the struggles and challenges you've faced and you've stood strong. But he wants to do something new in and through you. He wants to break in and he wants to break out. He wants to break in with his presence. I think maybe he wants to disrupt some of us from the maybe security and comfort that we've been in, maybe the things that we've been doing and that we've put our identity in. And he wants us to let go of that because he wants to break in and do something new with you. It's quite scary, isn't it? It's sometimes scary letting go of those things we get our identity in. But actually, it's because God wants to fill us. I was listening to worship on the way here and it was talking about new wine. And a sense that God wants to pour in some new wine into some new wineskins. And you know, it's only a church that's filled with the presence of God that can bring restoration into people's lives. At the end of Revelation, we get a lovely picture of Eden restored. Jerusalem isn't going to be a big noise. It's a garden city, the new Jerusalem in heaven. Let me read this picture. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of a great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and he will reign forever. It's a lovely picture of healing. Tim said there's a river flowing from the throne of God today. And actually, God wants us to dive in to that river. There's a river of healing. There's a river of life, of restoration, of hope. There was a guy who walked in quite late on at the back. I think you're sitting at the back there. I just felt God say that he was bringing hope to you, that maybe where there'd be some disappointment, he just wanted to restore hope to you. I don't know if it was in the area of job or ministry, but God wants to bring us hope into your life, that he's got something new for you today. Do you want to be filled with the presence of God? His plan for Walsall Community Church is that you'd be a church that hosts the presence of God and that it's going to break out into this community, I think, in a way that you haven't seen it before. This morning, maybe if something I've said about healing and wiping away tears and stepping out again, I think he wants to release some new gifts to you. If that's you, if you have a sense that actually there's been some pain that you just want God to heal, or there's some things that you want God to let go of, I wonder if you'd just stand and we'll pray for you. If that's you, if you know God just wants to touch you, maybe he's been speaking to you through one of two of the things I've been saying, I think he wants to release some new gifts to you. Should we just reach out our hands? Let's just pray. If that's you, just stand up. If you feel like God's speaking to you this morning, let's just reach out our hands and pray. I think some of you have been maybe sitting on the back benches and God wants to get you in play again. Maybe there's been hurt or disappointment, but actually God wants to get you back in the game. If that's you, if you know you've been hurt and you've just kind of pulled back and held back, God says he's got something new for you this morning. Maybe you just want to stand and respond to that as well. And Father God, we just pray your presence would come now this morning on these individuals, Lord, as you've just been speaking. Lord, would you bring fresh hope, fresh healing, Lord. Lord, would you wipe away every tear from their eyes. Father God, would you come and just rest upon them now. Let them know your love. Let them know your healing, Lord, and restoration. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we're a church where your presence dwells. Would you just come, Holy Spirit? Would you just break in to each situation, Lord, where it seems like there's no hope or it seems like it's impossible, Lord Jesus, we thank you. You can break in with your love, with your healing, with your hope. Where there's sickness, in Jesus' name, we just ask for it to go now. Every sickness, every pain, Lord, in your city, there's no more sickness or pain or disappointment or depression. We just tell it to go now in Jesus' name. It's a picture of healing there for you. Just receive God's love. And if you sense there's a new commissioning for you, maybe you'd like to stand. Maybe you don't know what it is yet, but a sense that actually God maybe wants to do something new in you, then why don't you just stand for a fresh commissioning? Thank you, Lord. Maybe you know there's something that maybe God's just loosening the hold. Maybe it's just recently you've been feeling God's loosening something. Father God, I just pray you'd give those you're speaking to courage to maybe let go of the things that they've been holding on to, the things that have become just a place of security, in order to embrace, Jesus, what you want to do in the new thing. Lord, would you speak really clearly so that they would be able to let go? I pray you'd give them faithful people to hand things on to, that they might step into the new thing that you've got for them. Lord, I pray there'd be a fresh sense of calling and anointing and gifting into new things for each of these people. Lord, I pray it be very clear. I pray you'd open doors of opportunity. I pray you'd stir up dreams and visions that maybe have been a bit dormant. Lord, would you put these people right in the middle of your game, Lord, exactly where you want them to be. Lord, would you help them to break out into new areas in this community, Lord, where you've got new assignments, Lord. We just commission them for those new assignments in you, Jesus. Fresh assignments. Just receive that from God. Just let the Holy Spirit come. Just say, Jesus, I let go of that which you're asking me to let go of in order to embrace the new thing that you have for me. Jesus, would you come and fill me, Lord, and empower me for this new thing that you're taking me on into, Lord? Would you break into my life in a fresh way, Jesus? Would you help me to let go of the things that my comfort, that I might step into new things for you, Lord? Great. Maybe the rest of you would like to stand and I could just pray for you as a church as well. Are you a church that wants to be filled with the presence of God? I think you do. I think the presence of God is here with us. So let's just ask that we might be a church that's filled with the presence of God, that we can bring restoration to people's lives, that we can both receive God's presence but also take it out onto the streets, that we can see that picture of Eden, that river of life flowing out from here into the streets of Walsall. So Holy Spirit, just pray, Lord, for a fresh anointing, commissioning on this church, Lord. Lord, it's precious to you, Lord. He cherishes you, he said. He sees the challenge you've faced and you've stood strong. And he wants to give you a fresh anointing of his presence to go out and make a difference. I feel that God's just got growth for you. Actually, within this church, I just feel like you're a church that's bigger than you are, that actually God has got many, many people out there that he wants to bring into this family because he knows he can trust you, that you're a family that will bring healing and hope to those who are in pain. So Jesus, we just pray for that, Lord. We pray for supernatural appointments as we each go out this week into our communities, Lord, that you give us boldness to speak to that person. You give us boldness to pray for that person. You give boldness to invite that person to meet somewhere with the church, Lord. You'd give us boldness to welcome the stranger and talk to people who are different to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.